We'll stand for prayer. Isaiah 45, 5 through 9. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird at thee, though thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he hath no hands. Before I begin, everything in this is what came to me, and I just write it down. Originally, when I handed it to Debbie, I intentionally left three statements in there that were contradictory to this message. When I got it back from Debbie, now there's 15. So, at the end of this, I want you to tell me what those contradictions are. Amen. So, I hope none of this bores you. I hope you find enlightenment in this, and definitely pay attention. It awakened me on some. Okay. I have been wondering for some time why there seems to be absolutes only in math and little science. Why two people can take the same material and come up with differing opinions, such as two doctors reading the same MRI, CAT scan, or X-rays and come up with different opinions, or why there are differing views as to scripture verses. What keeps people from seeing the same views? Why do people fall for a fallacy as there being more than two genders and cannot view that all races are not alike? How do we determine who is right and what determines to be right? Why do people hold on to a view or even a tradition that seems to others as being ridiculous or a lie? The Lord God guided me in finding answers to all these questions and more in this search. I found an article searching for what the minds of the world had to say on the question of where our thoughts come from. The article came from the Proctor Gallagher Institute. The Proctor Gallagher Institute is a business that helps people in business. They say, powerful things that stimulate a person's imagination and are the source of everything we create. Thinking is a mental activity of the human mind that never ceases. It has no beginning and no end. My question, does this sound familiar? Revelations 1:8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty, parenthesis, mind. The article continues, our personal thoughts are the intellectual expression of an electrical energy that flows constantly through the human mind, and our thoughts are the ignition for everything we do. Nothing gets created without a person first thinking about it. My thoughts. This statement certainly blows away evolution. Does this also define God? Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Revelations 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 10:6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Genesis 5:2. God even created male and female, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Isaiah 54:16. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. These verses should pretty much sum up all the things created, and by what source. The article continues, but we rarely give any thought to where those ideas and concepts come from. They just are. While labeling or describing the thinking process helps to bring order to our mind, we have never adequately understood why we think or how thoughts arise in our conscious awareness. As human beings, we think we don't need to know any more about the origins of thought or the mind. It's more important to understand how to use it and how to take conscious control over our thinking. My thought, maybe it is time to consciously know more about the origins of thought, who is shaping or painting pictures in our minds. Romans 8:5-6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Continuing with the article, the majority of a person's thoughts are automatic and arise from the subconscious mind. We do not consciously choose most of our thoughts. They simply appear from that constant flow of mental chatter. My questions: could we be harboring thoughts of our ancestors as far back as 6,000 years? Is that mental chatter from our ancestors, our DNA? Article. Back to the article. The thoughts we actually think are the ones we focus on, the ones that catch our attention, which often come with a strong feeling attached to them. These are the types of thoughts that we act on, and they are often a repetitive pattern of activity that delivers similar results and leave a person with a recognizable life and predictable future. We can, however, change our life if we learn to use our mental faculties deliberately. My comment, 1 Corinthians 2:11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Back to the article. When we consciously apply reason or perception to originate thoughts and ideas, we can influence our future, but mostly we are guided through our days by our subconscious mind, delivering familiar thoughts, ideas, observations, and judgments into our conscious mind. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Back to the article. Those thoughts cause our actions and become habits of behavior that deliver predictable results. My question, once again, who is painting those thoughts that we have in our mind? If a person is to take real control of their life and create the life they want, they must learn to take conscious control of the thought stream in their mind instead of abdicating responsibility for thinking. Scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, from Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Back to the article. That begins with awareness of what they are actually thinking. To be able to distinguish between what automatically arises and what is consciously originated. Learning to choose the thoughts that match their goals and desires. Rejecting thoughts that arise that do not match their vision for their life. We have the power and right to accept and reject any thought that enters our mind. To do that, we must learn to recognize that our thoughts are not reality or the truth, but offerings. My comment, this statement tells me the writer believes he has no free will. He has free will to choose what thoughts he wants to be real or true. He would know what is real and true if he were to examine the origin of thoughts. Back to the article. We have the option of choosing to believe and follow a thought or reject it and replace it with a better one. My comment, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Back to the article, it requires awareness of that opinion and practice of rejecting strong thoughts that do not fit our view of who we want to be. My question, could this belief explain the reason for the questions that I had in the beginning of this message? Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Ephesians 4:22-24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Back to the article. Begin to choose thoughts that reflect your values and desired identity. Do not choose those thoughts based on present conditions or circumstances which were created by past thinking. My comment, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. The article ends. Choose your thoughts based on what you wish to be, do, or have. That's how you create a future you desire instead of a predictable future that looks a lot like the present. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Now if you notice, not one mention of our Creator in other articles on the same subject by others were similar to this one, and not one mention of the very source that influenced them to write or be successful in their field. We have all been there before, and fortunately for us, the great I Am put His Spirit upon us so that we can now know better. Now to the answers to the questions above. Why is it that two people can take the same material and come up with differing opinions, such as two doctors reading the same MRI, CAT scan, and X-rays, and come up with different opinions, or why there are differing views as to scripture verses? What keeps people from seeing the same views? Why do people fall for a fallacy to there being more than two genders and cannot view that all races are not alike? How do we determine who is right and what determines something to be right? Why do people hold on to a view or even a tradition that seems to others as being ridiculous or a lie? It all has to do with the education given to them and their desire to know more or less. The absolutes are even being rejected. 2 plus 2 can be what you want it to be now. I wonder what is the drink these people are drinking. 1 Corinthians 3:2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. The majority of our kindred brothers and sisters love the milk of the word and stay drinking milk. Some even find the milk of the word repulsive. They would much rather drink sour milk. Those who want some meat of the word get the most tender part, like a filet mignon, and they can digest it. But meat comes in different categories, like tender, medium, and really tough. I remember when I was a child, and our family was at the supper table, and Mom fixed some steak that was something we rarely got, for I come from a family of 10. Well, Dad got really upset with the toughness of the steak, and he took it outside and threw it. It ended up on the neighbor's garage roof, two doors down. He couldn't cut it, chew it, or digest it, and he just lost it. When things don't go right, we tend to lose our temper. I got to pause here. I wish I knew then what I know now. Because if I knew then what I know now, I would have ran and got my dad a Snickers bar because he just wasn't himself. Well, one just couldn't blame Mom, for she went to the store and probably saw a good-looking piece of meat. And it had to be on sale, and she more than likely thought that this would be a nice treat. We know how our eyes deceive us. Well, it wasn't a nice treat, and that steak was like scripture to a lot of people, hard to cut, hard to chew, and hard to swallow. We also have to beware of those who pass out false doctrine, pretending and half-heartedly using scripture passages to sell their paintings to others. I found this happening amongst fellow CI members. Not that their intentions were to deceive, but it was what they want to believe. As soon as we figure out that we are nothing, and that it isn't about us, that it is all about what God wants for us, the better off we will be. Have you ever noticed having strong beliefs on a matter only to find out there is more to learn on that matter? God just gives us a little at a time, and until we are ready for more, he then gives us more. Sometimes we either reject more, for we think it counteracts with what was given us earlier, or we savor the moment for better understanding. Have you ever been afraid of being wrong? If so, then you need to upgrade our education. Have you ever noticed people looking for approval of their beliefs? My wife was in a conversation with an acquaintance friend, and she asked my wife if she had gotten the vaccine, and my wife told her no. The woman said that she thinks everyone should get the vaccine. Obviously, that woman is insecure in her decision, and it upsets her when she finds out others did not do what she did. She would feel better if everyone had gotten the vaccine, for then she wouldn't feel so insecure. Maybe she should have upgraded her education on the matter. In the future, when discussing matters concerning Scripture, if one makes a remark in regards to my beliefs, I will just reply, "Oh, I am sorry. I did not realize that you are in the early stages of learning. Just wait until you get to a higher grade of learning, for you are in for a ride." Romans 1:28, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." Therefore, say Ezekiel 11:17-21, "Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And when they come there, they will remove from all its detestable things and all its abominations. And I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put within them, I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose heart goes after their detestable things and their abominations, I will bring their deeds upon their own heads. declares the Lord God. Here God is saying that he will give us a soft heart, and woe to those whom he hardens their heart, like Pharaoh's heart. Imagine how awful it had to be for the Egyptians, watching Pharaoh make stupid decision after stupid decision in destroying them and the land in their possessions. A pause here. And yet, they still went out after the Israelites. Isn't this what's happening today? Following idiots that make rules? Can they not see it? 2 Corinthians, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I'll stop there for a comment. I heard on the radio or a program the other day, a guy calls in, he says, God is calling his herd. Those who get the vaccination, he means them to get the vaccination. He's calling the herd. Those who don't get the vaccination, they are his. And this verse here, the God of this world has blinded their minds, the ones who get the vaccination. My wife was in a conversation with a black woman. My wife gets all the conversations. Nobody talks to me about any of this stuff. She's had a conversation with a black woman who said she was a school teacher. She said she taught those children that if they were told by police to stop, they are to stop. For if they didn't, they might get shot. Now, this is a picture that has been painted in her head. And yet she doesn't see the picture that is painted into the minds of other people at the very same time. And that is that the blacks are in the news the majority of the time for crimes of all sorts. To solve a mystery, one has to ask and answer the question of who, what, where, why, when, and how. Only God's remnant can answer these questions in regard to the downfall of Christianity. Those who call themselves Christian cannot answer the questions who and why. Although I had my son talk to him last week, and he knows why they're trying with the mask and COVID and everything. He knows why it was to destroy Christianity. I did not bring the who up because I know he's a universalist. And they will not accept the who. Jeremiah 17:1, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. Isaiah 66:4, I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Now the more scripture verses. This next verse is for us to experiment with when we are sick and depressed or down about something. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. It certainly is not easy to do when our surroundings and fleshly mind pound away at us like a storm. Psalms 139:17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 94:11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are but a breath. We are just a breath. And I'll have more on that on another message. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. I followed that one this morning with all the waiting I had to do back there. First John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I must myself serve the Lord of God, law of God, with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. James 1:14-15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. There are over 100 verses in Scripture on just contains the words of thought. I couldn't include them all here. It was taking forever. So I just picked out a few, but there are so much more. Now we'll go to the verses of the serpent's art. The following passages relate to the carnal or fleshly mind. Examine these passages to see if it is all possible to rid ourselves of the carnal mind. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are not carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. 1 Corinthians 3:4. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos, are ye not carnal? 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto a spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Hebrews 7:16. Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. 1 Corinthians 9:11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal thoughts? Job 23:13. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Numbers 16:28. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. Can we get the carnal mind into subjection to the spiritual mind? A good test is, go through your day, everything you do, everything you need, everything you ingest in your mouth. Ask the Lord if this is right. You'll find out that it's not easy. You do things naturally. But ask the Lord if that's what you want, what he wants you to do. It was when you're doing a subject like this, and this comes to mind, sources come from all over. And last week, we had a song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I couldn't put it in here, but I had to go to this. And in that verse, the last part of the verse, it says, Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. So no matter how many differing thoughts there may be, it comes down to just two sources for those thoughts, the carnal and the spiritual. The spiritual mind can only be instilled into us from our Creator. We are born with the carnal. Psalms 51:5. The ones who focus on the paintings of the Lord in their mind are truly blessed. Every artist puts their name on their painting. You know them by their fruits. We are not perfect and have a long road ahead of us. What would be God's answer to the question, Lord, do we have faith the size of a mustard seed? This is a preview question for another message. In conclusion, be aware who is doing the painting in your head and know what spirit you are in. If we are unsure of what spirit we are in, should we make a decision on matters that we come upon? What would the master say to the servant if the servant made a decision without asking him? What is sad is that people blame God for all the ills of the world and refuse to look at themselves for those ills. People flock to mountains, oceans, scenic views. Do you ever think they ever give God credit for his beauty? Be thou my vision, O Jesus, of my heart.